1. And anybody came for the word of God tonight? Anybody came for the word? All right. All right. And so we're going to get it cranked up. We're going to get it going. And while you're turning, just remember, hallelujah. If you want to get off that world of music, hallelujah. That toilet water, hallelujah. You can tune in to Revive Soul, amen. The number one inspirational podcast, amen. And you can get yourself some good, clean living water. There you go. Get yourself some good, clean living waters, amen. That brother, that's something else, yeah, yo. I'm telling you, hallelujah. So listen, let's go off in the word of God. Father, we pray you bless your word, the exposition, the teaching, the receiving of it. We got to talk about some hard things, God, but break our hearts and chase sin away from us, God. The only way that we can be free is if we hear the truth, Father God. It's only your truth that sets us free. So bless us, God. Let not too many people be mad at me, Lord, but once again, you know I don't care. And we just pray that you bring them to repentance, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. 13:1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, and David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Father, we pray you bless it in Jesus' name. Saints of God, last time we were here, we talked about Absalom, the third son of David. He was born to one of David's wives by the name of Maacah, who was a daughter of the Geshurite king. This marriage between Maacah and David was unbiblical because David was being unequally yoked. However, the mixture between Hebrew and the other nationality produced some very appealing children, some good children to look upon, as is every time you mix Hebrew with anything. And hallelujah. And so Absalom and his sister Tamar were very, very good to look upon. And the Bible goes into great detail how fair and how beautiful they were. Amen. And Tamar had her older brother beat because she not only had it on the outside, but she also had it on the inside. You see, she was a good person. She feared God, walking in integrity. She was obedient to her parents. She was a hard worker, a servant. It's something when you look good, but looks is not all. Amen? And amen? It's another level when you look good, amen, and you bring something else to the table, amen. That was Tamar, hallelujah. When you need a good spouse by your side, you just don't need somebody to smile while y'all going through, amen. But can you do something? Can you help me out with something, amen? You know what I'm saying? So you want to build that character up. You want to build yourself, hallelujah, hallelujah, a repertoire of skill sets, amen, so you could be that virtuous woman spoken of in Proverbs 31. And that's where Tamar was heading. The Bible says Amnon, David's older son, by another wife, amen. Remember, David was engaged in the sin of polygamy, and by the time it was all over, he had, as though it were, 8 or 9 wives, and it's going to cause him a lot of trouble, for the wages of sin is death. This Amnon, amen, was the half-brother of Tamar, and he lusted after her. The Bible says he loved Tamar, but it wasn't love. It wasn't love at all. Because love is not selfish. Love is not self-seeking. He only wanted something for himself when he was looking at Tamar. He didn't want nothing for her. In fact, he's about to ruin her life. And anytime, amen, you want to ruin a young woman of God's life, amen, by laying with her before you marry her, amen, a lot of the time that ain't love, that's lust, amen. Because if you loved her, you would not allow her to dishonor her God, amen. So what we did, we went into depth and we talked about lust, amen, just giving us the definition and how it destroys and how it produces death, amen, and how it's animalistic and it's not really of God, it's of the world. We went through a lot of different things and just talked about it, just drawing a lot of things out about lust. We not only talked about lust, we gave you some remedies for lust, how to overcome it, how to handle it. You see, the problem with Amnon was he just sat and marinated in his lust. He did absolutely nothing to try to handle it, to try to mitigate it, to try to fight it back. Amen. It got so bad that he was so vexed and so in sorrow of spirit behind a woman that he could not have. It was unbiblical and against the Levitical code for him to even be near her. Amen. But the Bible says that he was so vexed that he began to display physical characteristics of being sick. Amen. He was so full of lust and sin. He didn't handle it. And so, listen, if you didn't catch that message, go by and get the CD. It's something that can really help us out. Amen. Especially our Hebrew men. And it's not just men. Remember, a lot of ladies like the muscles too. Amen. The muscles too. Amen. And so that's something you got to deal with. And remember, lust is not only sexual. It's greed. It's gluttony. It's a myriad of different things that manifest itself from this sin that we call lust. But tonight, we want to continue, amen, in chapter 13 and picking up in verse 2. And the title of this message tonight is, She Was a Virgin. Somebody say that with me. She was a virgin. That's right. It's not a word they even say in our popular vernacular today, this day. It's a word that's kind of embarrassing for some people. But I want to bring it back, amen. I want to bring it back tonight, amen. Nothing wrong with being a virgin, amen? And so we'll have 2 points tonight. Number one, Amnon could not do anything to her. And number two, but Amnon had a friend. Now, point two, listen, we won't get to it because I'm going to try my best to get y'all out of here early tonight, amen? Because we got a long week this week, amen? And so after much consultation, hallelujah, we're going to go ahead and try to just knock out this one point. But we're going to hit it hard, though. Amen? All right? We got one pitch. We got to hit it over the fence with this one. All right. First point, Amnon could not do anything to her. And we pick this up from 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 2. The Bible says, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, full of lust. For she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Now let's focus in clearly on the latter part of verse 2. The Bible says that Tamar was a virgin. Amen. It means that she had never been with a man or a person of the opposite gender. Or for that matter today, a person of the same gender. Amen. She was a virgin. This is the goal of every Christian parent. To walk your daughter or your son to the altar of marriage without them ever having been intimate with anybody else. This is the goal. This is the goal. You're trying to raise a virgin. That's what you're trying to do. That's what you're trying to do. You see what I'm saying? That's the goal. All right? The world is so wicked that parents, amen, are doing the exact opposite out there. I'm telling you, you don't know like I know. No, some of y'all know. Yeah, y'all know. Parents are trying to do the exact opposite. You see? Parents are encouraging their kids to experiment with fornication and sexuality. Oh, yeah, daddy's telling sons how she looks, son. Does she look good? Father's trying to encourage their sons to lose their virginity. The Bible says, but Tamar was a virgin. And for daddies in here, amen, it's not cool for you to get your son started on this, for you to awaken lust before it's time. You're bringing your son closer and closer, amen, to HIV, anybody hear me? To poverty, amen, to child support, to being a single parent, amen, ending up in the court system, and worse than that, you can lead your child straight to a road that leads to hell, and it's all because you want your son to be cool at school in front of all of his friends. No. Tamar was a virgin. And for the daddies in here and mamas in here, we do our best to get our children at that altar unhindered in absolute purity. Absolute. You see? Yeah. Mama's thinking it's not a big deal. Amen. If daughters be with a man or a young man. You see? We need to renew our minds, saints. We need to get back to the Hebrew way of doing things. You with me so far? And we're going to talk about that tonight. You with me so far? And we're going to ruffle some feathers. A lot of people are going to be mad. So what? All right? So what? I'm after souls tonight. And I'm trying to put ointment, amen, on a wound that's festering in the Hebrew population and in all the populations of the world. Is this lust? Is this fornication? Is this premarital intimacy that's destroying our young people? Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's parents that have most of the blame for it. It's the parents. And Christian parents had that. Oh, we're going to get into it tonight, saints. We're going to get into it tonight. Because a lot of us know better, but we don't act like we know. We actually act contrary to what we know to be true. Meaning that we know they shouldn't be with nobody, but we're not acting consistent. Treating them and giving them boundaries and borders consistent with what we know. Oh, come on, somebody. Ooh, woo! Listen to me. You be loose on your kids. And you encourage them to fornicate. Let me show you what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 say about fornicators. All right? Because this is where you're leading your kids. I brought it in the NLT so that we can understand it without too much exposition on it. Don't you realize that those who do wrong practice iniquity, sin in a habitual fashion? You see, this is consistent with the gospel, yeah. Because God is not just talking about you sinning. He's talking about you being a habitual sinner. You see, Christians fall into sin every now and again. That's not what he's talking about right here. He's talking about people that's living a lifestyle of habitual sin. He's not talking about the person that fall down and do a little wrong. He's talking about the fornicator. He looking out, going out to fornicate. He's talking about the adulterator. He looking out and he lives a life of adultery. He's talking about the homosexual, hallelujah, that lives a life of homosexuality. You see, it's the patterns that determine whether you have really received the gospel or not. Because when you receive the gospel, a pattern is broken. Woo! You with me so far? You used to be a fornicator. You used to be an adulterator. But when you receive Christ, the pattern is broken. You're born again. Now, it don't mean every now and then you're not going to have some blip-ups and slip-ups and things of that nature. All right? But the pattern is broken. You was an adulterer. Pow, the pattern broken. You see what I'm saying? You see, you was a fornicator. Pow, the pattern broken. You know? Now, every once in a while, you're going to have a mess up. You see what I'm saying? I'm not excusing it. You see, but when the mess ups are so plentiful, so frequent, and we look at your life, amen, and we see that you just really continue in the line. There's no break in the pattern. You see? That's what the Bible means when it says faith without works is dead. When you have the requisite faith to say, I'm a Christian, it should produce some works. It'll change your heart. You won't want to do the wrong no more. So listen, when we get our children involved into illicit relationships and lust and sin, we put them on an addiction, amen, where they can become habitual offenders. And the Bible says, don't you realize that those who do wrong habitually will not inherit the kingdom of God? Is evidence they don't know him, Mike. He says, don't be fooled. Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin. You see, because when you're really born again, you're not just going to keep going to that woman's house like that. No. You're not going to keep going to that man's house. Young people, listen to me good. Now, listen to me good. Listen to me, young people. You ain't going to keep shacking up. You ain't going to keep going to that bedroom if you're really born again. 1 John tells us that we cannot continue in sin because his seed, his spirit, part of him is within us. It grieves him, thereby grieving us. And we go into these wild and crazy fits of conviction and crying and oh, God, woe is me. We began to live out Psalm 51. Restoring me, huh? A clean heart. Creating me a clean heart and restore a right spirit within me. Anybody ever felt that type of conviction before? So that's not what Paul talking about. Paul talking about the ones that can keep going and feel no conviction. And even though they may cry some tears, they right back at the house. Those people that's fornicating like that. Those who are, hallelujah, worshiping idols, committing adultery. Look what he says. Male prostitutes. He says homosexuality. Living lifestyles like that. Look at verse 10. I got to keep going. He says, listen. Thieves, you're always stealing. I'm a Christian, but your hand's always taking stuff. And there's no breaking that pattern. Greedy people, drunkards, there's no breaking that pattern. Abusive, cheating people, there's no breaking that pattern. Listen, you must be born again. There must be a break in the pattern. If there's no break in the pattern, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. None of them. None of them. Why would you want to put your children on something like this? Why would you want to put them on that path? Young people, listen, you will go to hell and bust hell wide open because you're chasing after a little girl or you're chasing after a little boy. Let me tell you, friend, that ain't worth going to hell for. Woo! Pastor done cut up. I ain't got started yet. Yeah. And so we assist our kids in hell, being a single parent, poverty, no education, STDs, HIV, more probable living on welfare and state government funds. When we encouraging them into this sexual immorality, we encourage them into, hallelujah, getting yoked up spiritually, making soul ties with people. And before they leave high school, they done been with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 little boys already. Never even hit college yet. Get to college and that's 20 more. Go out in the workforce, that's 15 more. Listen to me, they going 3, 4, 5 a year. And by the time that person get married, they got so many soul ties, they don't even know who they are. That's why they end up losing their mind in schizophrenia, bipolar, on medicine. That's way too much. And that's why when they get married, they can't stay married. Because they're not used to being faithful. They're not used to subduing their lust. You done taught them that they don't have to be faithful. Listen, faithfulness to God, to stay pure and to stay a virgin. It's great practice to faithfulness to your spouse. If you cannot be faithful to God, how in the world are you going to be faithful to a man when you get married? Can you go be faithful to a woman when you get married? Listen, us who done been through it, we know the struggles, man. And what we want to do is give our kids that which we never had. You giving them fishing boats and ATVs and toys and clothes. That's not what you leave your children. You leave them a legacy of Christ. You give them righteousness. That's what you give them. And you give them a head start profit so that they can be married and it won't be all of this running around and stuff. That's what you give them, man. But we got to do it right. We got to get back to the Hebrew way of doing things. You got to have in your mind, my child will be a virgin. They will be pure. One of the problems is we've been in this world so long, we don't even think it's possible. You say it, but you don't believe it. Deep inside, you don't think it's possible. But what is impossible with man is possible with my God.
Yeah.
She was a virgin. And the Bible says, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Watch this. He thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Watch this. The newer translation says that it was difficult. Next to near impossible. For Amnon, though filled up, overflowing with a cesspool of lust, to even get close to this woman of God. He said it was difficult for him to do anything to her. Close to impossible. He couldn't get close to her. Couldn't really have a one-on-one conversation with her. He couldn't be alone with her. Hey, somebody was doing something right here. Ooh! What you mean, Pastor? Listen, in biblical times, in the Old Testament especially, amongst the Hebrews kept their unmarried daughters out of the company of men. They kept them out of the company of boys. They kept them out of the company of people of the opposite gender. It was the Hebrew way. It was the way we got down. And we got down like that, amen, because we knew what was in the hearts of men. For Jesus says, out of the heart of man come murders and adulteries and fornications and all manner of lust. When you know what's in the heart of man, you ain't going to let your baby be alone with a man and you don't know. We done forgot some things. Oh, but I'm here to remind you tonight of the way we used to do things. Before you start watching that devil vision, before the false prophet was before you for 6 hours a day. We've been in TV land too long. Come back with me to Bible land. Come back with me to the Bible way. Come back with me, Israel. To the Hebrew way. They were never alone, y'all. Never alone in the presence of one, male strangers. They were never alone in the presence of male relatives. Woo! Watch out now, Pastor. Male strangers, male relatives. Who, Pastor? Uncles, cousins, half-brothers, step-brothers, two-step, three-step brothers, and whatever else. They was never alone with them, G-Money, because the Hebrews knew how to handle business the biblical way. You see, they knew what Paul would rather tell us later on down in Ephesians 4:27. Paul say, you never give place to the devil. When you look at that in the modern translation, Janice, it tells us, don't you ever give an opportunity to the devil. All right? So they kept their girls. Now listen to me. I'm talking about girls because I'm trying to be consistent with the exegetical nature of the text. But entertain me here for a second. Because we not only have girls in danger these days, we got boys in danger these days. And so I want you to think about this as a gender-neutral sermon. Boys and girls must be kept and watched because we want to walk them both unhindered, pure, abstaining in their virginity to the glory of Almighty God. Yeah. They knew that you could never give an opportunity to the devil. You don't leave them alone. You don't leave them alone with the opposite gender. You see? The Old Testament people of God would leave no opportunity for the devil to sexually assault their daughters through rape, incest, molestation, fornication, or adultery. It was not happening. Amnon found it hard to do anything to her. These people were always with a chaperone, with a mama, with a daddy, with a godly witness who would be ready. He could do nothing to her. Oh, y'all got to hear me up in here. All right. These folk, another scripture, hallelujah, I'm going to bring out. These folk put no confidence in the flesh. We doing just the opposite these days. We giving the devil mad opportunities. We are opening up to the devil so many opportunities on our children, and that is why our children are all messed up, growing up hindered, hallelujah, especially in the Hebrew community. Oh, come on, somebody. they knew what was in the heart of men. To leave their little girls unprotected, without a guardian, with men full of lust, they knew it was a recipe for disaster. That's like leaving gas right next to a fire. There's going to be an explosion, whether you want one or not. Now, if they did that in the Old Testament, when there was not as much immodest dress in those days. Oh, wait up now, wait up. Wait up. The girls, the ladies, they wore robes all the way down. Today, some of y'all little girls in here walking around with exercise shorts all day. And they ain't exercising at all. If they wasn't even showing their shape back then, and they still was not allowing them to be alone with a man, man, how much more should we when the outfit's not good? All right, hold on, hold on, hold on. Back then, they didn't have pornography. Music videos, BET, MTV, that the men are and the young men are watching constantly. Filling themselves up with a heat straight from the pit of hell. Songs and magazines that, hallelujah, pull out the worst in our young men and our men. Perversion, marinating in it all day long. That's today. If they were careful to watch their children back then, how much more with all the exposure to lust and sin that we have today, how much more should we watch our children now? Huh? We're not watching our girls, man. We're not watching our little boys. We're not. We're not. I'm telling you this as a minister who has counseled children. I'm telling you this from a former assistant district attorney who worked in the juvenile division with OCS, then read the reports. Did the cross-examination on children that's been abused. Listen to me, man. Listen to me. Listen to me. The walls are down, man. The watchmen are off the walls. I just want to know where the watchmen at. I want to know where the watchmen at. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? You see? I was praying today. I said, God, what you want me to tell your people? I said, tell my people, y'all got to take care of your children, man. You say, take care of your children, man. You're not taking care of your children as good as you should be, man. You're taking care of them like TV land. You're not taking care of them like the Hebrews, man. Right after you say, take care of, tell them take care of their children. He says this, who are ultimately my children. Tell them take care of my children. How well would you watch the Lord's kids? If you had to babysit for the Lord, how well would you take care of the Lord's kids? If the Lord say I'm lending them to you, I'm giving them to you, but I'm going to be back in an appointed time. How well would you take care of the Lord's kids? Would you take your eyes off the Lord's kids? Would you let somebody else watch the Lord's kids? Would you not do your due diligence watching the Lord's kids? Well, here's a newsflash. You are watching the Lord's kids. Woo! God have mercy. Keep going, Pastor. Did you know that according to the National Violence Resource Center, NSVRC. It tells us that 1 in 4 girls are abused intimately before they turn 18. 1 in 4, that's 25% of all women. Now, you got to know, right? If we got 4 women on this row, that means that one of them done got messed with. And that's a lot. But my wife being a counselor, amen, tells me this, that it's more than that. Because a lot of people will never tell nobody. All right? All right? That's just the ones reporting. One out of four reporting. Listen to me. The same survey says that only 12% report. Oh, God. So you're telling me that almost 90% of the little girls that's being played with not saying nothing? Now listen, in a few weeks when we come, I'm going to talk about the right way to handle that situation, because Tamar is going to show us how to handle when somebody do you wrong. Because if you don't handle it right, you can be a conspirator in wickedness because you're holding back information when God said you need to expose the unfruitful works of... You got that man looking like a saint when you know he done did something to you. Got that man serving in church, a priest, a pastor, and you know that man. You a conspirator. You expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Let something like that happen to somebody else, and that's blood on your hands. That's blood on your hands. Oh, God have mercy. This a problem, Jen. Listen. One out of four, One out of two, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. And if you think the girls are bad, the young men are coming just as fast. Because a lot of them don't want little girls no more. They want the little boys. Come on with me into the darkness. Come on with me into it. Let's peel back the veil. Let's expose it. Because they got people in here on every side of this. We got predators in here. We got the prey up in here. And we got people that the devil trying to tempt to do stuff like this. This word is for everybody. This word is for all the classes of people. All right? And it's especially for the parents, because I'm not trying to come down on nobody. Jesus' blood will wash anybody from sin. And if we got a predator in here that can be converted and saved, oh, hallelujah, praise God, all right? If we got somebody, amen, who done exposed to some of this stuff, who can be redeemed, because listen, I got all kind of statistics. Just put them all up there. Just put them all up there. We ain't got time, but we got to go. Listen, 80% of the women who go through this have residual effects in their life. They go through so much damage when they abuse that they compare it to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. When somebody leave Vietnam or Korea or World War II, come back from Afghanistan with bombs and blood and legs all over the place. That's how traumatic this thing is. What I'm here to do tonight is to save our sons and daughters from this right here. Because if one out of four is happening, that's way too much. If one out of two is happening, that's a travesty. Pastor, what kind of effects will happen besides post-traumatic stress disorder? My little wife, who's a counselor, gave me a slew of other things that can happen. When a young lady is involved in something like this through molestation or rape or something like that, listen, she may become promiscuous. I'm talking about 12, 13 years old, being all over the place. Middle school, and it's happening. They might go the opposite way and say, I'm not going to be promiscuous, but I'm not being with no man, not even my husband when I'm married, messed up. They might go anger, resentment. They might go homosexual, like some of our boys do, losing the identity gender of their gender. There's some that even indulge in alcohol and drugs to suppress the pain. Some that involve themselves in isolationism, don't even want to be around people. And sad to say, there are some, amen, who commit suicide. And we're going to look at Tamar and see what happens after this. She is not the same person after this. But I thank God that through Jesus Christ, amen, even those that's been through this, amen, hallelujah, the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. Amen. Those are in Jesus Christ are a new creation. He can undo anything that the devil did. You with me so far? A lot of parents are dropping the ball. The reason the Hebrews didn't leave him with men because 96% of the assaults that take place on children are done by men. 96%. Because of the wickedness is so great in this reprobate, total depravity generation we live in, we're starting to see women that's participating in child abuse as well. You see? 8 out of 10 victims, amen, know the person that sexually assaulted them. They know them. 34% of it are family members. Right? The Lord gave me that a lot of parents are dropping the ball. They're not doing what Tamar's mama was doing. Tamar's mama had her protected, man. Amnon could do nothing to get close to her. Let me give you a few ways in which parents are dropping the ball. Then we're going to have to get out of here. Y'all trying to start the campaign tonight? Deli, that's all right? All right. I done got the green light. Let's go. First way parents are dropping the ball is number one, boys. Boys. When I mean boys, I mean young men. That's your children's age. You got little girls and you got boys. And you're letting them, hallelujah, hook up with people their age. And you're doing it a little too loosely. All right? What you mean, Pastor? Well, amen. You let them come over to the house. You got 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds, and they talking on the phone with somebody, amen. And you say, well, why don't you bring them on over? And that they go playing house at your house. They sitting in the living room, amen, and you don't come check on them for hours. My thing, Brother Duck, is this. Why are parents so green? You know what you used to do when that girl's parents used to leave the room. So why in the world you don't think your children gonna act the same way? Oh, but my children are special. Yeah, just like you special. And sometimes the way y'all act with y'all kids, expecting the best, when they sinners, yeah, you acting special. Listen to me. You don't check on them for hours. Some of them are so bold, they don't only let the kids come over, the little boyfriend come over. They let them go in the room together. Can I say idiot up here? Fool! Listen to me. Listen to me. That's inappropriate. And you will never raise a young man or a young woman that's pure, that's a virgin like Tamar. You're never going to do it. If you're allowing them to play house in your house. If you're allowing them to go up in that room. Oh, the Lord just gave me something else. Come on, Lord, not that. Yes. Christians allowing their kids to shack up at their house. They're not even married and they're allowing them to sleep in the same room, sleep in the same bed at your house, Christian. A sin. And you're pushing your children into it. Keep going, Pastor. I got another one. Y'all let them go to the movies with young men and young women mixed up. Y'all let them go to the mall. Y'all let them jump in the car and go eat out together, drive around town together. Listen, you can't let that happen. You allowing gas to be with a spark. Amen. You put them in a little car that's how big. And you hoping they don't touch each other. Can we wake up and live in the real world here? Let me ask you, what you did when you was in that situation? Montgomery, don't you dare answer that, Montgomery. Oh, yeah. Let me go deeper here now. Dances. Proms. Holy Ghost just dropping in my spirit. The skating ring at night. Sadie Hawkins. Homecomings. Let me tell you what happens at those places. I'm about to renew y'all mind. Y'all going to look at me like I'm crazy up in here. But I'm bringing you back from where the world has taken us. Because we got our little girls and our little boys wanting a prime and a dance like somehow that's necessary for them to live. Like it's bread and water and it's oxygen. If you don't go to a dance, you still going to live. In fact, you're going to have abundant life if you don't go. You understand what I'm saying now? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They want to experience a dance. Let me tell you what happened at a dance. All right. You ever saw the dresses that them little girls wearing at these proms and these dances? I try to go eat out with my wife and they got a 12-year-old. I'm like, what in the world she got on? Going to a dance. So we dress them up like harlots. Prostitutes. You're dressing your daughter like a hooker. I said it. So you dress her like a hooker. You give her some money. And you send her out with a little boy that's been looking at pornography all week. And you expect nothing to go on. Oh, that's foolish. That's downright foolish. A prom, a dance, what's that? Is that in the Bible? Do they talk about a prom in the Bible? Man can't live without prom alone. But by every Sadie Hawkins, every homecoming. Listen to me, man. Listen to me. As long as I'm pastor of this church, and as long as my wife is principal, superintendent, or any other role she pick at PCA, there will never be a prom. There will never be a dance. There will never be a Sadie Hawkins. You might well transfer right now. You're going to have to go dance someplace else. The closest we're going to come to that is a father-daughter dance, and that I'm going to be dancing with Grace. Come on, girl. Daddy still got it. But that's about it. You know what your daughters and your son asking you when they want to dance? Let me interpret that for you. I want to play with fire. I want to awaken love and lust before it's time. I want to fornicate. Some of y'all taking y'all children out of PCA to experience that. Go ahead. Because time going to tell. And I'm going to watch. Look, I'm going to watch. Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch. Let's get back to the Hebrew way, man. Listen, man, they're not taking my daughter out to nothing. Listen, when they come to get my daughter, it's going to be her husband that come to get her. All right? And he's going to come. And he's going to sit down with me and ask to court my daughter. And I might have some things on the table for him so that he could know where we lie. I'm skilled at what I do. And I'm going to tell him what your intentions, my dog. Well, I just want to go on a date. She don't do dates, though. Now, if you come to court her to see if she's going to be a fit for you as a wife, then we can talk. Y'all still ain't going to go out by yourself together. No, but they know. They cool with that. They cool with that. We take them to see the effects of a young lady that get the wrong man. We let them see that. And so they'll tell me, Daddy, help me. Don't let me pick no fool. Daddy, you be a part of this process. All right? How we losing it? Boys and girls and that mixing like that? That didn't happen in the Hebrew way, Old Testament. That's TV. Sleepovers. Oh, boy. What pastor talking about all kind of stuff tonight. Letting our daughters and sons go sleep to friends' houses. When the friends have brothers. and sisters. Listen, man. Sure, your daughter friend and everything is good, but you don't know her friend brother. And you don't know who passing through that house, her friend cousins, her friend uncles. You see, before you let them go, really, I don't recommend them going at all. So don't ask if they can go. But if they go, no, they're not going to go. But hypothetically speaking, you got to check out not only the house, not only the friends, but the siblings of the friends. You got a 17-year-old, 18-year-old little boy over there, and you're sending your 10-year-old, 12-year-old. You don't give no opportunity to the devil, man. You know how many reports come over my desk that made me cry like this? They just be a little bit older than your children, but they be stronger and more experienced. Your child 9 or 10, they be 15 or 16. And they don't stand a chance. And they abuse them. And they damage them. Possibly for life, but hopefully not through the grace of God. And sleepovers? Nah, don't. The age of the sleepover is over. It's over. It's over, man. We can play all day. But when the sun goes down, we got to go home. All right? Now, Christians, listen to this, all right? Sometimes y'all get together for a Christian thing. And y'all out there playing Uno, Phase 10, or talking about the word all night. And y'all just get so caught up in the fellowship that y'all not watching the kids. And y'all allowing the boys and the girls to be in one room. And everybody just playing in one room and stuff like that, you know. That's how trouble starts. You don't put boys and girls in a room without supervision. You don't do no stuff like that. Don't put no confidence in the flesh. Let's talk about babysitters for a second. Boy, Pastor Gordon, oh, boy, I'm not letting it go. Listen, I could save a daughter tonight. I could save a son tonight. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to go hard. Hey! Don't just let anybody watch your kids. But Pastor, my babysitter is great. But listen, you have to check everyone in their vicinity. Your babysitter might be great. But they got a brother that come through there. He on drugs and he not all the way right. You know? And sometimes, amen, your babysitter get distracted. They won't pick up and leave somewhere. They got an unstable life and their boyfriend done start some trouble and now they got to leave. And so your babysitter calls a babysitter. Can you watch them while I go? No. I gave you my kids to watch. I come back and it's a whole nother person watching my kids. Nah. Let's talk about blended families. This is kind of like David's situation. You see, Amnon and Tamar was in full blood. Oh. We're in an age of blended families, meaning that a woman with a child move in with a man with children. The man got daughters, the woman got sons. And they don't watch them children. Them children not related. Stepbrothers and stepsisters are not related, man. You know how much me and First Lady cry when a family that used to come here came in and told me what a stepbrother did to his stepsister who was younger than her? Them people not related, man. You got to watch that. You can't just be leaving them by themselves like that, man. Oh, but I trust my, you don't know your children. Your children are sinners, man. They fall in humanity just like us. Your love is tainting your image of who your children really are. You think the people that find this stuff out think that it's going on? You think they say, well, I knew? Nah, they hadn't the slightest clue that it was going on. But let's go deeper than that. Protect your children, I'm telling you. Stepfathers? Stepfathers? Now listen to me, it's not all stepfathers, because don't you meet me after church talking all this and that. I know some very good ones. I know some very, very good ones. It's not all stepfathers, all right? Some of them say, on fire filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about all of them, but I am talking about some of them. You got a girl, a teenage daughter. You married to the stepfather, but he ain't got no relation to that girl. Come on. You got that little girl coming out the shower wearing just about anything. You not even monitor her, how she dress around the house. That's a man that has no relationship to your daughter. Oh, man, y'all green? You don't sit in the meetings I sit in, huh? It's going down, man. You don't leave your daughter like that. You don't let her dress like that. You keep an eye on that. You got to protect them. I wish I could bring you in. I wish I could video the people that come in crying, that tell me the things they saw between steps. Amnon could do nothing to her because she was protected. Man, whatever you do, in this world that we're living in that is so wicked and diabolical and is set up by the Ashkenazis to produce products just like they live out of that Talmud, a product of molestation and pedophilia. He's trying to make the whole world like that. But we have an opportunity, y'all. If we listen to this Bible, to go back to the true Hebrew way of doing things, and we can raise children, that's going to be so much higher on a spiritual plane, and build solid marriages, y'all. Let me give you my catch-all number 5 right here. Uncles. Older cousins. Yeah, them older cousins be stronger. And older boys take advantage of younger boys these days. Make them effeminate and turn them into homosexuals or where they battle their lifestyle. You thinking you can just drop them by that older cousin and not monitor them? Don't be no fool. Man, I could still see the report, man. Neighbors. We watched this in our neighborhood. I sit outside like Solomon looking through my porch or the lattice of my window. And I see how a neighbor just let his little girl come from down the street. And the little girl go in and out of houses. And me and my little wife, we just look and we say, man, oh. They don't even know where she at. In fact, there was a time where we was living right next to somebody who had got, you know, convicted of that type of lifestyle. And we watched the neighbor's son go in and out his house. And they knew that dude passed. And what y'all don't understand, that this type of pass, except it be for Christ, is not something that's easily broken. No, that's an addiction, man. That's why sometimes, I'm telling you the one, sometimes, I don't want to get that graphic, but only way without Christ for them to stop doing that? It's a sickness, man. Teachers, coaches. I'm just being real. Now, you turn on the news all the time, and you've seen all these teachers being caught, convicted, all this stuff like that. And I'm not talking about our teachers per se, but the boundaries got to be for all teachers. Amen? You don't let your kids just rule with your, you know what I'm saying, teacher by themselves like that. All right? All right? I'd be a little bit more freer, woman-on-woman type of rolling around. But man, woman, or man, boy? Nah, dog. By yourself? It ain't happening. And I'm not bringing your two old brother to chaperone you. That don't work. You get that boy hit a Benadryl, it's over. Come on, Pastor. Man, it's supposed to be an early night, and you see how y'all doing, man? Pastors and priests. Now listen, if I'm going to throw everybody under that, I'm going to throw myself under that. You see, but I'm going to throw myself under that because, listen, I don't have no malice in my heart to try to be by your children. You understand what I'm saying? All right? My wife get on me all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to have to start seeing the children. Amen? She see them. She know all their names. I know the parents. Why? Because I'm not really interested in holding all. I'm not. That's not me. That's not me, dog. So listen. Don't let your children be alone with pastors and priests. All right? I should never call you up, John Brittany, let me come pick up your child, just me and them. John, hang up in my face and say, that's not Pastor Omar. But that wouldn't have happened, you know, in the megachurch if people was watching their kids. Oh, that's Pastor. That the boundaries, man. Now, as far as the priest is concerned, man, now this thing is, Tessa, come on, this thing happening all over the world. Priests all over the world touching boys, and they still bringing them to Catholic school, they still allowing them to go and be altar boy. Listen, there should not be another altar boy until the year 3000. You understand what I'm saying? What are you doing? You're not protecting your children. Fools. Slow down, babe. All right. Man, I'm almost done, young. I'm fighting for your children right here, yeah. I'm fighting for them, yeah. Relax, Cole. I'm fighting with all my heart, Cole. Why? Listen, no pastors, no priests along with your children. Listen, no church leaders, ministers or deacons or something like that. Always got to be a guardian, somebody else around, man. You know what I'm saying? Church family. You got to be careful even with church family. You come and you be a member and the other member always want to be around your kids. I'm going to pick them up. I'm going to do that. Red flag. Always trying to touch your kids and all that stuff like that. Red flag. Listen, man, stay away from people, kids, in here, man. Stay away from people, kids, up in here, man. Leave them people, kids, alone, man. Don't be,
Don't be doing all that type of stuff, man. And you got to train up your kids, all right? And, you know, you got to train them up to be able to identify behavior that's not regular. And if they do that, they're going to come and tell you, hey, something happened that wasn't regular. And 9 times out of 10, amen, hallelujah, it ain't going to be nothing, all right? But just training them to see those signs so that when something happened, amen, at least they're going to come and tell you. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that. I'm here to equip you. We're going to get into that. A little bit later, we're going to get into that. You got to teach your children, man, the boundaries and what people can touch and what they can't touch. Oh, boy, is this church? It is church. Fighting for the souls of your children. Come on, give him glory. Amen. Listen to me. If you fall into these categories, if you're an uncle as I am, amen. If you, amen, a pastor like I am, and you fall in any of these categories, you shouldn't feel any kind of way about what I'm talking about. If you don't have no malice in your heart, you shouldn't feel any kind of way what I'm talking about. Because I don't feel no kind of way. Because I don't want to be with nobody cheering. I don't want to tell nobody cheering. It ain't like that. All right? So don't be offended by that. In fact, you shouldn't even want to be alone with a child because the stories could come out and things could come out. You need to protect yourself. You know what I'm saying? And some of the men in here, listen, especially the children that's been messed with, they not only become prey, but they eventually become predators. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. You don't want to be alone with nobody, child. Yes, you don't want to be alone with nobody, child. Tamar was a virgin, and it was impossible for Amnon to do anything, hallelujah, unto her. And so it was over. He was filled with lust. He couldn't put the lust in check. But the safety precautions of Tamar's parents kept it from happening. But the Bible says in verse 3, But Amnon had a friend. And there are times where you could do everything that you want to do and can do possible for your children. But Amnon had a friend. And some things you don't even let your children be exposed to and experience, amen. But Amnon had a friend. So next time we come, we're going to talk about them friends. We're going to talk about them friends. We're going to talk about them friends. You see? We're going to talk about them. Because some of y'all losing y'all kids behind some friends. Let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. That wasn't too hard for y'all, huh? We got to protect our children. Father, we thank you for your word and your way. We're trying to get your people back to the Hebrew way of living, God. Help us, O King of Kings.